my guest in studio is none other than Roderick Chambers, our own political whiz and analyst. Now, you've come back from an international trip.
Yes.
you've jumped the gun a bit there.
And before you move on, I just thought that was Smoochy. You know who's taken over the communications director of the Trump administration is Moochy.
Yes. I believe he's come from Goldman Sachs, hasn't he?
So
he's
not straight from Goldman Sachs, but yeah. But he sold his share in the company he started for $100 million in anticipation of getting a job with Mr. Trump.
Yeah, he's a long way from the political establishment or the halls of power, clearly, with one of the most powerful companies in the world, Goldman Sachs. You've got to love politics. And
that is indeed
what we're speaking about today. Just quickly before we get into the politics, you went on a bit of a break, an international trip. Tell me about where you went and a little bit about that.
Let me tell you, Miles, that being a student of politics, I, of course, went to the grave of Machiavelli.
Ah, Niccolo in Florence. It's actually closer to San Gimignano, I believe.
Is it really?
Yes, because it's not quite in the city of Florence.
Isn't it?
It seemed to be in the city.
I don't know. I wasn't that far from the Duomo. It was fairly close.
Indeed.
Anyway, so I went there to pay homage to the great man of politics himself.
One of the great texts in the Prince, a real political doctrine.
And, of course, visiting the grave of many of the Medicis as well, that beautiful place there too, because, you know, they worked politics better than anybody else in that sort of high Middle Ages. Sorry?
It was just leading into the Renaissance.
Anyway.
Of course. Now...
beautiful.
Let's speak about our own political system, where I dare say the
Machiavelli is much in evidence.
Yes, indeed. So many centuries on it is now. I think it was written in 1476, his treatise.
Yeah.
Now, in 2017, we still see elements of it very much present today.
And haven't the Greens lost ground, Miles?
Well, they have. They've lost a percentage point in their news poll, which is like two senators have lost.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about that.
Their two most photogenic senators have been lost. What are they going to do?
Well, I was actually hoping that you could share a bit of insight about how they both ended up being dismissed. Of course, last Monday on the Monday Daily, we did speak about Scott Ludlam's dismissal, but now Larissa Waters, the Queensland Green Senator.
The other deputy leader.
Indeed. And she was born in Canada, I understand it.
They were just there on a trip or something, there for a week, and she got born, and that was, you know, it was all, and then the law changed while she was there, and it was all very complicated for the poor one.
Yes, so now, I understand very quickly on this. She was born there and lived in Canada for 11 months. Her parents were researchers in Winnipeg. Now, she was born
in Winnipeg?
Yes, in 1977.
They didn't exactly luck out there, did they?
They didn't. Now, with 1977, she was born, so 40 years ago. Now, in Canada, the laws around citizenship changed that year so that by the time you turned 21, you had to opt in to Canadian citizenship if you didn't live there. If you were a citizen of another country, you had to opt in and become a citizen. Now, Larissa Waters presumed that because she hadn't done that, she was no longer a dual citizen, except she was born a year before the law was actually passed. A week before the law came into effect.
However, it's even worse than that because... the Australian law she needs to really look at, and the Australian law is around eligibility. It's not whether you are, whether you seek it, it's whether you're eligible. So she has to renounce her eligibility. And it's quite clear, and everyone knows it. And I don't know why, you know, you can't look at your passport and go, wait a minute, I better check this out, because it doesn't say I was born in Sydney.
Indeed.
Or, Brisbane or wherever she comes from. Queensland.
Yeah, I do think the Ludlam one, I think for most people, seemed a bit more perplexing that the senator wasn't aware of that. But the Waters one,
because it was brought to his notice 3 years ago as well.
Well, and I had a bit of sympathy for it. Now, let's jump into the news poll.
Very sympathetic guy.
It came up 53-47. To to Labor over the Liberal National Party. 47. Now, this is a continuation, much of a muchness, but
exactly. Not much of a change. No, not much joy there for Malcolm. The only joy he has is he's got a little bit of an edge on Bill Shorten. He's 43-32. Because, you know, Bill just, we were talking earlier, weren't we? What could Bill do, Miles? What could he... He always seems to be, you know, talking off a script, doesn't he? That's his big problem, do you think?
I think his issue does seem to be that people don't view him as a particularly charismatic person. And I think one thing, no matter what you think of Malcolm Turnbull, is he can go on those charm offensives. He's very quick speaking off his hands, and he can think on his feet, and he's a very smart and intelligent person.
So his hands and his feet.
Yes, indeed.
It's pretty good.
Sure. In that regard, he's quite lethal, and I think that's what actually people endears voters to him originally, and why I think there was a lot of optimism when he initially overthrew Tony Abbott in a very Machiavellian style. Now, I just remark on that there was a return to the major parties. Also, One Nation lost a percentage point in the news poll.
Yeah. Well, you know, what have they done right recently?
Well, that's I'm kind of hoping you would be.
You know, one of their senators looks like he's saying that he's not a dual citizen, and he's never owned a 7-Eleven or something, which was pretty much a bit of a dodgy remark, I would say.
Yeah, well,
a rather
dog whistle remark.
Yeah, a bit of a dog whistle remark.
That was in reference, just to clarify. He was born in India.
I didn't want to say what reference.
He was born in India. Well, I think it's important to name and shame.
Oh, okay.
Those kind of remarks, because it's one thing
you're perpetrating it.
Well, I don't think so. I think, Rod, I think it's about pointing out...
You're using the airwaves to perpetrate this.
No. These were Malcolm Roberts' words. These were Queensland Nation, One Nation Senator Malcolm Roberts' words, where he said he said he never had Indian citizenship despite being born in India, and that he'd never owned
a 7-Eleven.
Which I think is a pretty rotten comment. And
sounds borderline racist, doesn't it?
Well, I think you could quite comfortably say
Then we're saying we're racist because we think that Indians are the only people that run 7-Elevens. So.
Well, that's the connotation.
This is the problem, isn't it?
Well, that's the connotation that Malcolm Roberts has implied clearly there. Now, that's not his actual issue in terms of dual citizenship. It's actually about being a British citizen. Now, his office has said he's renounced it, but they won't show the documents that proved he did renounce in the nominating process. So there's a bit of investigation going on there, I understand, in terms of people who want to see the documents.
There's a lot of people that are sort of going to be having to have a look at their birth records. But anyway, that's by the by. But I think, One Nation, we've had Pauline Hanson flying around her friend's drone, James Ashby, who seems to be up in the air more often than not, as it happens. And she obviously didn't check out the rules on that. And really, One Nation people aren't really good at checking out rules. But I don't know whether that'll affect their core constituency, really. Mm. I mean, when it comes to Queensland election coming up, is that going to affect One Nation? Maybe not.
We're going to have to find out soon enough. Any other political observations to finish? Though I noticed there was a bit of discussion.
Tony Abbott came out of the conference this weekend looking a bit brighter and shinier than he's looked for some time, because his actual motion got ahead, and people now in the Liberal Party can have some say as to what happens. It's not just going to be all the big people in the head office of New South Wales.
Yes, of course. They called this the Warringah motion,
changing
sounds the way...
like something you might see floating off Manly, wouldn't you?
Now, Rod, I was just going to remark that this was a motion that actually looked to have the pre-selection us of people who ran for Liberal Party election in federal and state level, at least in New South Wales, that party membership, the rank and file, as they would call them, got some sort of say in it. So it seems like that's going to bring what he described as more democracy to the party.
Is this a big win for Tony, or is it, Malcolm did say he came out in support of it, so it was sort of fairly, bipartisan. But the thing is that anything that gives Tony Abbott oxygen at the moment is, unfortunately, bad for Malcolm.
Yes, an astute observation from our Machiavellian analyst there. Mr. Roderick Chambers, thank you for joining me in studio.
Great to be here, Miles.